Puggity.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Hey, hang on, I gotta switch something. Hey, Puggity.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, there you go. You sounded tinny, as they would say.
Beforehand. I'm wearing my Bluetooth headphones, and the phone doesn't. I got a lot of things to say about these stupid Bluetooth headphones, but they're on. They're connected to my phone, and when I get a phone call, it defaults to the phone and not to the Bluetooth headphones.
My Bluetooth headphones are the exact opposite, and I wish that they worked like yours did.
I had to dig these out of a drawer because I hate them. They don't. Well, okay, so they're $20 Bluetooth headphones that I bought from Amazon, right? They're my first pair. I've never had Bluetooth headphones before.
Yep.
And I thought I'd give it a try, and I got tired of the music cutting out every time I turned my head to look down the street.
That really shouldn't happen.
So
I've had bad Bluetooth headphones. I've had never really any great ones, but yeah, they do not cut out.
Because, you know, I only wear them when I, like, walk to and from work. And, yeah, you know, I'm turning my head. When I turn my head left to look down the street, the music would cut out. And it was really annoying. So I went back and I went back technology-wise, and I bought a pair of wired headphones.
Ah, yes. Now, is it a wired headphone that has to plug into the Lightning port? Or do you still have an audio jack?
I still have an audio jack.
That's good.
I'm still rocking an iPhone 5S. And so...
Yeah. See, now, here's my problem with the Bluetooth headphone. And you may not have this problem. It is a problem for me. I can hear the Bluetooth signal. Like, there's an actual, like, audio thing. I can hear it with the printer that we have here, and I can hear it in my Bluetooth headphones, and it is very distracting.
What does it now? You can hear the Bluetooth signal when you're wearing the headphones and they're on.
Yes.
So what does it sound like?
You know how an old fax machine or modem used to sound?
I was just gonna ask if it was something like that.
Not the part, but the little, like,
yeah,
it's like a little sort of tinkling if you ran it through a low pass filter.
Okay.
I think it's low pass, whichever one it cuts out the high end. It's a sort of a softer muted kind of beeping kind of, it's difficult for me to explain, but it's really annoying.
Do you hear it all the time?
Yeah. When my Bluetooth headphones are on, yes.
That's distracting.
I think it's because they're cheap, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm assuming if I bought, like, an expensive pair of, like, Beats Bluetooth headphones, I wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah. But... Ooh, you know, both Jennifer and Betty have more expensive headphones than mine. I should put theirs on at some point in time and listen.
Yeah, just to see.
Find out. Let's see. Betty is at circus class, and Jennifer has taken her to circus class. They will be returning around 6:30, so there may be some interruption, either now or then, like if they call or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I'm just forewarning you.
Took me a bit to realize you were talking about 6:30 your time. I'm like, that's plenty of time.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Let's see. I have mentioned this before. I haven't been watching Game of Thrones, but I even though I have cut down tremendously on watching Twitter or lurking or whatever you want to call it, and yeah, I'll get to that in a moment. I still cannot escape knowing things about it. So that's good to know for sure. But the reason that I was remembering this is one of the things I liked about moving to the West Coast. I mean, not the West Coast, sorry. The Midwest. Is that I don't get as spoiled for stuff now. Because right. Central Time lots of times broadcasts things at the same time.
Right.
That, whatever you call it, the East Coast does.
Eastern. But it's weird. Also, it can also work in a different way because I don't have TV. I have the HBO app.
We talked about this. Yeah. The HBO app plays it as soon as you get it.
I get it at 6 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock.
Which is great and how things should be. I think. Do you remember Swatch Beats? Have we talked about this? Of course we have, I'm sure, at some point in time. Allow me to talk about it again.
This is episode, I think, like 166. So we've done approximately 166 hours.
Yeah.
So in There's that time, we've probably talked about Swatch Beats, but I don't remember, so remind me.
Okay, do you remember what Swatch Beats were? That's the important thing.
Is that a watch?
So Swatch is a watch company.
Yeah.
And they came up with an idea that I really wished had taken off, but it didn't, called Swatch Beats. And the idea was it was a new form of time. And I think that it should have been adopted. And we should be living by Swatch Beats like right now.
A new form of time.
It didn't take off. Yeah, the idea was that there were no time zones anymore. That was their big, big selling thing. And they sold it as internet time. And then the idea was that because people are now connected via the internet all over the world, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to try to do any of these conversions to figure out what time it is. We just have these new things called Swatch Beats. And the idea is that you and your friend, the Swatch Beats are the same. There's no difference. You know, the sun will rise, you know, at a different time for you, Swatch Beat wise. Like, you know, the sunrise for me is at 800 Swatch Beats. I think Swatch Beats were divided into 1,000, I want to say.
Okay.
Like there were 1,000 Swatch Beats in a day, so I like want to say.
At 600 for you is the same as 600 for somebody, you know,
right.
Five time
Events
zones
will
away.
Happen at different times, but if I say I'm going to call you at 5:38, I will call you at 5:38 and it will be 5:38. My time at 5:38, your
yeah.
time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you and I know the problem with trying to do Swatch Beats at any degree of precision is that our methods of communication themselves have delays in them.
Right.
So even though I'm like, we're better now, because you and I anticipate, our brains have kind of taken over, sort of. We pause when we want to and stuff like that.
Right.
Not taken over, compensated. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
But like, speaking of Bluetooth headphones, when my wife, Jennifer, sometimes talks to me and wears her Bluetooth headphones and I'm wearing my Bluetooth headphones, it adds enough of a delay where we're constantly talking over each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could be a Swatch Beat behind your friend. And then what? Anyway, though, Swatch Beats, the big thing is that Swatch produce these watches that counted Swatch Beats. So you have your local time, and then you can switch to Swatch Beats. And it was a marketing thing that didn't take off.
This didn't take off, you're telling me.
But I wish it would've, because it would've been cool, I think. And I feel like with Swatch Beats not taking off, we are more divided than we were before in the the internet.
If only Swatch Beats had gotten a foothold on American culture, then I think we'd be in a much better place.
World culture, Ben. Yes.
World culture.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, now so, you're asking a lot.
Yeah, I know. But it is interesting. I, you know, just by virtue of being in the Midwest, I am much less world-oriented, I think, and more United States-oriented. I know this sounds weird, but I think part of it is because the East Coast and the West Coast are the sort of the cultural centers.
They dominate States. Everything. Yeah.
Because I am of neither of them, I see them sort of as foreign, and therefore there are exotic places here in the United States. Why would I ever go somewhere else? When, you know, I could be wrong about this, but I think it's a mindset of understanding the vastness of the United States a little bit more and realizing how diverse it is.
Right. And therein lies the issue of the disconnect between coastal America and, quote, real America.
Oh, yes. Speaking of which, though, did I tell you anything about my vacation, or have we not talked?
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
Remind me where you went.
Okay, so I went to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, we talked about you... We talked about you going there, but we haven't talked about the trip itself.
Springfield, Missouri has 100,000 people in it. It is a big city. And I couldn't believe it. The hotel that we stayed at was really nice. Kind of fancy.
Did you pick Springfield at random? Or why did you go there?
Okay, so here's the thing. I am interested in caves. I like caves.
Yeah.
They are the outdoors that are indoors.
they're the indoors of the outdoors.
Yes. So I like them a lot. And Jennifer wanted to pick a cave trip that we wouldn't have to do a lot of walking in, because she, you know, after a little while of walking can get in a lot of pain the next day.
Yeah.
And so we took a thing to Fantastic Caverns. Fantastic Caverns is in Springfield, Missouri, and it is a large indoor cave system. The people that run it have jeeps that they drive through the cave in.
Must be fun.
It was really cool. You know, they did the standard cave things. They tell you about the structures, and they turn off the lights and let you see how dark it is.
Right.
I suggested to them that they have like a spa treatment where they drive you to a part of the cave and then turn off the lights and leave you there for like a half hour. they thought wouldn't like it. I was like, you do tell them ahead of time that that's what you're going to do. Right. Like you...
If they find their way back, they win.
I was somewhat tempted when they turned the lights out to like climb out of the vehicle.
Oh, jeez!
So that when they turned the lights back on, all of a sudden I wasn't there. But I realized that could cause problems.
That would be traumatic for Betty, I feel.
I don't know, man. She's gotten sick of me for sure. I think she might be like, finally. I could be wrong.
Is this what we had to do to get rid of him?
Like, you know, talking about Betty, I feel as though she is like becoming more confident than I am, just in general. And it's really starting to worry me.
Well, I don't think it should worry you. I think there should be like a proud moment in parentage.
Well, yeah, except, you know, like... like what if she's cooler than me, man? Of course she's already cooler than me. But you know what I mean? Like she likes me, right?
Yeah.
And I hope she continues to like me, but like if she's more confident than me and she starts to not like me, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be real bad.
Well, I feel that there's gonna be this standard life cycle of kids versus parents that'll probably happen, where, you know, the adoration of you as her father will slowly die off as she gets more into her teenage years. Uh-huh. And then she's probably like between the ages of like 15 and 18, 19, she's probably even gonna like actively hate you for no other reason than that you're her father.
See, I don't like any of that. But that's not cool as far as I'm concerned.
It's a cycle, right? So it'll come back, and in her 20s, she'll realize that you're actually a really great guy.
Oh, boy. I hope so.
It's those teenage rebellion years, man. You got you can't defeat it. All you can do is mitigate the fallout.
See, my hope is this, and this goes against every instinct I have as a narcissist and all that. But I hope that when she hates me, she hates me for legitimate reasons. And I start questioning my bad habits.
Like you won't give her the keys to the car.
No. Like she gets, I mean, she gets mad at me for legitimate reasons. Like, Dad, you say you're going to do this stuff and you never do. You know, that kind of thing. Like she gets mad at things that are actual problems that I have.
That makes you self-reflect.
Yeah. Like she already has done that a couple of times. So my parents are more conservative than I like to think I am, right?
Right.
But she'll tell them things. She'll you know, speak out on ideas and things like that that I'm with her. I agree with her, but I don't think that my parents should be in a conversation about it. You know what I mean? Like,
confused face.
Like, let's see. Let's say, for instance, and this isn't an example. Because I don't, you know, it's her deals. It's the stuff that she wants to talk about. I don't necessarily want to air her.
Her
things. But let's say, for instance, that she thinks the death penalty is wrong.
Okay.
And so then she, you know, we're at dinner and we're eating and everybody's, you know, having an okay time, and she'll turn to my parents and she'll say, do you think it's just to commit a murder to punish a murder? You know, and then she'll talk about like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll feel the same way, but I don't want to talk to my mom and dad about it. But she's,
I think it's reasonable not to want to talk politics with your parents.
But then she'll do this other thing too, where she's like, do you think less of me because I disagree with you on this issue?
Oh.
and this is what I mean about her being more confident than me. I wouldn't enter into that, you know, but she is, that's the other thing, is that she is half Jennifer. And so there's going to be stuff like that all
right,
over the place.
Right.
So,
going back to the cave discussion, I've only had one experience being in a cave. It was when I was a teenager. I was actually about Betty's age, little older, I guess. I was like 13. And, wait, how old
is
Betty?
That's how old she is.
She's 13. Okay. I was 13 or 14. I was, it was right before middle school.
Oh, that's so hard to picture a you that is about Betty's age.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
I went on this road trip with my dad and my grandfather, and in South Dakota, I think it was, we went through the Wind Cave. I think that's the name of it.
What's it called? Ring? R-I-N-G?
No, Wind. W-I-N-D. Wind
Cave.
Oh,
the Wind Cave. Oh, great.
And it, you know, it was a tour, so there was a tour leader, and did the same thing. They didn't turn the lights off on us, but I don't remember. But we're walking down. We walked down probably, like, I want to say it was at least 15 to 20 floors worth of stairs going down into this cave.
Yeah, wow. That's
it
crazy.
It was pretty far. And we get to the end of the tour, and the guy's like, all right, y'all ready to walk back up? And we're all like, oh, God. Like, why? Nobody told us it was going to be this far down. So we keep going, and we round this corner, and there's a bank of elevators. And everybody just cheered. You know, everybody was so relieved that we didn't have to walk back up all these stairs.
I really do like elevators. I do. Caves as well. That's what I was going to say. But then, you know, I appreciate elevators. There are tons and tons of caves in the United States. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mines.
Many of them unexplored. Well, the mines are explored because mines are man-made, but...
Yeah. Well, you could make a mind that you then explore later, I think. You just have to be creative with how you
Every once in a while, I'll come across this story, and it's always the same story, and I hope it's just this one time that it happened. But there was a caver who was crawling through, he was exploring this really tiny, like, part of a cave and got stuck, but he got stuck upside down.
Oh, wow.
And there was a rescue effort to get this fella out, and at one point they, like, pulled on his feet, but and, like, broke his leg. Dude eventually died, but I don't remember, like, how long.
Wow.
He was, because, like, upside down, all his blood was pooling into his head and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I come across this story every once in a while, and it's just, like, it's horrifying, and it just reinforces my belief that I never want to go, like, caving.
Well, I wouldn't want to go caving that way. That is one of the things. There's a second level to the cave that we were on, and they said if you wanted to traverse that level, you would have to go on your hands and knees.
Yeah.
Nope. Or on your belly and, like, inch long. And then also it floods.
Oh, God.
So imagine, if you will. That would be kind of horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, but here's the thing. On the way up to there, we hit it on the way up and we hit it on the way back. It is a place called Uranus, Missouri. And do you know what is that? Uranus, is that, Missouri, Ben?
Is that how it is pronounced, sir?
Yes. It is a tourist attraction. The very first thing that you know about it is that there is a fudge factory.
Oh, God.
And the slogan is, the best fudge comes from Uranus.
Of course it is. Was this town settled by college kids?
It's not a town as much as it is a strip mall. And it is great. It is so... They embrace it. There is a gun range and an archery range and a fudge factory and an escape room and a sideshow
find
museum.
Your way out of Uranus.
Yeah, exactly. Get your head. I'm wearing a thing right now that says what does it say? I escaped Uranus. That's what it says. and I'm wearing this. I'm gonna wear this until it rots off of me. Basically, it's a you know, one of those rubber band kind of things, like the Live Strong bands or whatever.
Okay.
We finished the museum, the escape room. We did not finish it in time, but we finished it by the time the person got to the... So we kept going. And by the time they got to let us out, we had made it to the end.
Oh, I see.
And so they gave us our wristbands and stuff. I need to be extremely honest. They were like, you can keep going. Like, we were so close to the end that we were able to do it. And so I'm wearing it because it's a testament to our ingenuity, but also a humbling experience because we didn't make it within the time.
Was it just the three of you, or was there another group in there?
It was the three of us, yeah.
Yeah.
And I need to say this. Betty got the first thing.
Well, good for her.
Like, we were all, like, wandering around trying to figure out what to do. And she got a couple of the other ones, too. Most of the stuff that I did wasn't the innovative stuff. It was the this is what it is. Now there's just grunt work on how to make it actually work. And so I would do that side of it. A lot of fun. Anyway, I'm going to keep on going back there because they have plans. They're not stopping. They're going to get bigger.
They're going to expand. Uranus is going to get large.
Uranus is expanding. Oh, my gosh. It's great. I love it. but also, so Springfield, Missouri has a college there. They have like an art walk with statues. They have an art museum, and here's the great thing. Do you remember Nick Cave when he was, not Nick Cave the musician, but Nick Cave the artist, when he had a thing in Seattle? He had a show in Seattle.
Nick Cave of the Bad Seeds?
No. That's Nick Cave the musician. This is Nick Cave the artist. And Nick Cave the artist had these things called sound suits. They looked kind of like this African, like fuzzy, colorful, like outfits that were really crazy. Look it up. Look up Nick Cave sculpture.
Okay.
After this, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was in Seattle. I always meant to go, and I didn't go. And here in Springfield, Missouri, they had an exhibit of his stuff. It was great. I couldn't believe it.
Boy, so many different types of caves out in Springfield.
Hey, wait a second. Ben, that's amazing. I didn't even think of that. So the hotel had a pool, so we spent time in the pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were there Easter Sunday, so a lot of stuff was closed, but the art museum was open. That's when we went there. And then, yeah, on the way home, we visited Uranus again. And that was cool. But here's the other thing. We got candy at a candy factory. And yeah. I picked up a type of candy that I don't know if you've ever had before. It's called double salt licorice.
Nope, never heard of it.
Okay. It's licorice that has this thing in it called ammonium chloride. Ammonium chloride is, as you can imagine, ammonium and hydrochloric acid mixed together.
Okay.
And this is a candy, and it is probably the worst tasting candy, if anyone can even call it that, but I have developed a taste for it.
Have you had this before?
Never. So I got it because, okay, so here's the thing. I was there and I wanted to buy licorice, but I didn't want to buy anything with gelatin in it. All the gelatin they had, it was labeled specifically pork gelatin, which is crazy. But good for them, because when we see gelatin, we don't necessarily think about where it comes from.
Right.
Gross. Yeah. So I got the two types of licorice that didn't have any gelatin in it. One was this double salt licorice. The other one, black licorice, like ropes or, you know, shoestring type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really good. Like I said, the double salt, I'm getting more and more used to it.
How much of the stuff did you buy that you? How much did you buy that you have to develop a taste?
So here's the thing, right? It is probably a. Like, you know, when you go to a deli and you have that little plastic thing that, like, a potato salad would come in or whatever?
Okay.
Maybe 12 ounces, maybe. So 12 ounces of these. Here's the thing. Recommended, serving size is 18 of them. I can power my way through about two. and I mentioned this. It's like, you know, a hardened sea captain looks at you through his one good eye, stamps his wooden leg on the hull of the ship and says, "That's enough for me, thanks." It's so strong and insane. It feels like something a parent would keep in their pocket as a punishment to make the child eat it if they're
yet you've developed this immunity to it. So yeah, I've had enough of it that I
now like it. It's pretty good.
Wow. When you first had it, were you regretting your decision to buy it?
I was mad. I was like, what is this? How come? Why? Who has done such a thing?
Who did this?
The answer is the Dutch, mostly. also people from Finland and Northern Germany. But yeah, now I like it. And Ben,
yeah.
When I'm out of it, I'm going to buy some more.
No, you're not.
That's how much I like it. Yep, true story. So yeah, but it really honestly, I can't, it transports me to another, my world is different than everyone else's because I eat these. They're not drugs, Ben. They aren't, but they feel like,
I can imagine there's a sort of sense of security knowing that nobody's going to take any of it.
I feel like imagine you're a doctor and you've discovered ether. Nobody else knows about it, and you're you're nuts on it, and you're insane, and everybody else is sane, and you're looking at them going, "You fools, you have no idea." That's what this feels like. The idea that I'm actively eating this makes me feel other.
You don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah, true, true. Oh, obviously, also, Passover was happening.
Yeah.
When we were on our trip. I did not observe Passover at all. We ate everything, and it was...
did you mix your meats in your dough? Oh, you don't eat meat, so I guess...
Well, no, I did. That's the thing, is I ate everything. meat and milk products and all of it. It was... There was nothing that I didn't eat, and it wasn't a rejection of any of that stuff. It was... that was what we decided to do on the vacation, was to...
Right.
To go to fancy food places.
Well, I mean, and that's what you should do on vacation.
Yeah. But but then I had a... There was a potluck at work that Monday. Not that Monday. Sorry, that Tuesday?
Yeah.
I want to say. And... or maybe it was that Wednesday, now that I think about it. Yeah, I think it was that
regardless
Wednesday.
Of what day it was.
Yeah. But one of the people who works with me saw me eating. They had the main guy, the guy who set it up, right? Not my boss, our client, bought spare ribs for everybody.
Okay.
Pork spare ribs. Yeah. So I'm eating one of them, and this guy says, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, and I was like, look, I explained the thing that you and I both have. I was like, I am here as a guest of this man. He has chosen to buy this for us. I want to show that I'm appreciative of the fact that he has, you know, given us food.
Right.
I am eating this. And you also have to think about why you're not eating stuff. Is it for the animal? Is it for your body? If it's for your body, I'm able to eat a lot of things. The only thing I can't eat for real, the only thing that will actually cause me distress is clams, oysters, and that kind of thing.
Right, right. I'm aware of your shellfish allergy.
Yeah. So I don't eat that. And if you would offer that, I would say, look, I really appreciate that you got this for me. I also don't want to be throwing up in your presence for, you know, the next 20 minutes or
right.
However long. So
that's a legitimate reason to not eat something.
But everything else, I am pretty much able to metabolize it and all that. So if it's already dead and you've already cooked it, me not eating it isn't going to help it any.
Right.
So that's kind of my new take on it. I think that they're home. I'm hearing movement inside the house. And if they aren't,
well, a stranger is in here.
It is 4:40.
So I'm just gonna really or quick
6:40.
Stick my head out.
It's a what is it in beats time, in Swatch beats time right now.
Yeah,
I don't know what time it would be in Swatch Beach. Yeah, Betty's right here. Hey, Betty.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
This is not yelling for Betty. This is just casually speaking to Betty. you haven't watched Gotham yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, there's a new... And I think the last episode of Gotham is happening.
Yep.
And so Betty and I are both going to watch it.
The last episode of this season, or didn't I hear that that show's coming to an end? Didn't Cole say that they canceled that show?
Yeah. This is the last episode, from what I understand. Really? Oh, and you know how we talked about DC Universe maybe not doing so well?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have news about that. It's a kind of a long story, but buckle in, and we'll get through it together.
I know, but it's interesting you bring it up, because I was just talking with Scott and Chris over at Comics Dungeon about DC Universe.
Yeah.
And just this last week, and they told me something I didn't know about it, but go ahead and start on, and I'll let you know if you tell me the same thing, which would be an interesting coincidence.
Okay. Probably not, but we'll see. So I got a note, not a note, but a package in the mail from my bank, and I opened it up, and it's a new debit card.
Uh-huh.
It says, call to activate your new debit card. Now, I'm suspicious, so I look it up. I log in, and sure enough, my bank sent me a thing saying, and the paper said, we haven't experienced a breach. We're still safe, but we see that you were affected by a retailer who had a breach, so we're proactively giving you this new card number.
Okay.
It made me a little bit miffed that they won't tell me who, because the first thing I did was, after I activated my new card, is I went through and changed my card and all of my things that I normally use my card for, and I'm like, am I just giving this new card number to the people who lost my old card information? Right. DC Universe doesn't allow you to change your payment information.
What?
You have to cancel it and then wait for it.
That's the stupidest thing.
To expire and then sign up again. Yeah.
All right, that is not what I heard about DC Universe.
Okay, so what did you hear?
I just heard that they have more content than I expected. When DC Universe was announced, I don't know how many, year and a half ago. They only had so many original content shows, Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol, blah, 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 blah. But apparently, there's so much more content on there from Warner Brothers that you have access to.
Yeah, and I'm interested, I still would like to sign up again, although it makes me a little nervous that because I canceled it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them trying to charge that card again. They said to me, okay, it's canceled. Please note that your subscription will still be active until February of 2018, I think it said.
Huh?
Or 19. Either way. Time in the past.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, yeah, I think DCU needs to up their e-commerce game.
So, one of the reasons why I stepped away from Twitter again, as you know, the presidential election is looming in our future, and the Democrats are crazy. All of them.
maybe crazy,
not all of them.
Crazy Uncle Joe Biden has put his hat into this very large ring.
Yep,
this last week.
And some people aren't happy about it.
No, apparently. Lots of people are not happy about it. And lots of people are happy. I don't get anything anymore.
Yeah.
Like, so, I would assume that Bernie Sanders put a really sour taste into many people's mouths this last cycle. But he's like a front runner.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. And I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. What? I'm choosing my words carefully.
no one's great. That's basically it. No one's great. Really what happens is you're the person that you don't like has followers who are going to complain about the person that you want to vote for until you're sick of everybody.
Right.
And that's the way politics work.
Yeah.
You know, all of your friends who don't like if you're a Bernie Sanders fan, all your friends that don't like Bernie Sanders are going to complain about him enough that you're mad at all your friends. You don't like the person they're for. And also you stop liking Bernie Sanders as much too. No one wins. Everything is horrible.
So I'm starting to develop a favorite. I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to go down that path. Yeah. But there's one per, like, I'm excited about everybody. There's nobody who I'm like, you know, I'll happily vote for Joe Biden if he gets the nomination. But there's one person where I'm like, yeah, this person should be the nominee. But there was, and I'm on the internet a lot, you know, and I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I read Reddit a lot. And I saw one of my Facebook friends who posted just a couple days ago, the Bernie bros are back and, you know, are back at it. And I'm like, where? I've not seen any Bernie bro activity anywhere.
You know, maybe, I think I know what they mean.
I'm not going to defend it. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure there are circles where people are being annoying again, but it was just one of those instances where it's like, we're eating ourselves again.
Yeah, no, I really honestly think what it is that someone somewhere supports him as a candidate.
Yeah, that's enough. Somewhere some white dude is supporting Bernie Sanders and therefore the Bernie bros are back out.
Yeah. I honestly feel, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I imagine that there are people who get emails, you know, who are at like a second tier that I am not in for their candidate. Who's like, hey, make sure that you tell all your friends to watch out for this story in the news. And for like, I really think that people are being seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D.
Right.
To like expose things and, you know, gain traction on this issue and make sure you talk to people about single payer because it's going to be really important, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it happens. Again, one of the reasons why I'm staying away. Because do you know how not willing I am to work for any sort of political change? Very little in my life is involved in that like stage of politics. So
you're not going to go canvassing door to door for you know, a political cause?
I really, even if the person was super great, I probably wouldn't because I'm, and I know that there's someone who's going to hear this and go, well, you're the reason why
right.
so-and-so didn't do, and it's not true.
You're the reason why X is happening.
Yeah, it isn't. And I don't know. It's just, I get so tired, Ben.
I appreciate the people who work for change, and even having said that, I will still avoid canvassers on the sidewalk, even if it's for an organization I support.
But here's the thing. The bare minimum of what our country's political system was set up for, I'll still do it. Don't worry. That's still happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have about 15 minutes left. We've been doing pretty well. Were there corrections today at all?
There were corrections today.
What? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
they came
you
in
may
yesterday.
Not know it from listening to this, but Ben Lawrence and I don't use our phones to do any research during or before the podcast. That's right.
Which is painfully obvious.
We spend an hour a week talking to you using only what little knowledge we are able to hold inside of our heads. It is an experiment that has been going on for a while now. We do all right, but sometimes we get things wrong. And when we do, we ask that you, the listener, write to us at Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
That's correct.
And let us know about it. And luckily, we have a ringer. The best fact checker, although there have been others, and ooh, boy, I like the other fact checkers too. Hey, do I play favorites? Yes, I do. And why? Because Jennifer fact checker is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, and it's
understandable.
Really brings it home almost every week, finding something to write to us about, something that we said that was wrong, or something that maybe there's more information that she has that she can fulfill our inquiring little minds on. And Ben, wait, is that right? Fulfill our minds? No, it doesn't work. Darn it. Fulfill I thought I pulled minds. It out. But what have we got for this week on the segment we like to call Corrections. Ding. Ding.
Anyway.
That's when you really know that there's latency in this podcast. When we try our hardest to time it, because we're trying to time it to the delay so that we both hear it at the... Anyway, sorry, Ben.
So,
go ahead.
In last week's corrections, I think it was last week's corrections, Jennifer mentioned that there were Pizza Huts in Seattle. And yes. I'm like, well, I have never seen any of them. Well, she's basically, the only corrections are she lays out where the Pizza Huts are. Apparently there's four within the city of Seattle.
Okay, tell me.
There's one on Rainier and 33rd Avenue South, which...
Okay, Rainier and 33rd Avenue South, is that in Ballard? No.
No, that's in the Central District or near there. In the Northgate Target, which I go to the Northgate Target a lot, and I just have Pizza Hut blindness.
Yeah, I think it was there when I was there. Because
there's a little tiny restaurant right inside the door there. I can't remember if it's on the first or second level, but yeah, it's there. I've never really taken note of it. On 104th Southwest and White Center. In White Center.
White Center is not Seattle. I'm going to call BS on that. Jennifer Pratt, you know for a fact that White Center is not Seattle because why? You can buy fireworks at White Center. And you know this. You were the one that told me this.
I'm sorry, I
don't get hot under the collar usually, but this is the type of professionalism that...
I'll leave that between you two, and I'll just go on. There's one more.
I aspire to, I suppose.
15th Avenue Northwest and 143rd Northwest, which is just barely in Seattle. It's right on the border of Shoreline.
Okay.
And, there's one more. This has nothing to do with Pizza Hut. Remind me, were we talking about the official language of Rwanda?
I believe that I said I don't know what language they speak in Rwanda.
Well, anyway, she goes on to say the official language of Rwanda is Kinyarwanda. Other commonly spoken languages are English, French, and Swahili.
Aha, uh-huh, yes, okay.
And that concludes our corrections.
Now, I am trying my best, Ben. Here's the thing. Jennifer has to deal with two different things. Me being obsessed about something and Betty being obsessed about something. And normally, she has to deal with two obsessions at the same time. Us trying to work in our obsessions in a conversation, things like that. So I'm going to invite Jennifer to not listen for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
While I talk to you about the thing that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
It's real simple. I am once again developing a language.
However, I think you talked about this recently.
However, it's not a language. It is a slang.
Language.
It's English-based, but there is slang to it, and it is sort of a patois. There's a lot of French into English, and there's also criminal slang from the 1800s thrown in. And basically so it's mostly English words. There are some words that are Americanized. You know what I mean? So like, as an example, let's say, give me a French word really quick.
A French word?
Oh, so like parler, right? And this isn't one of them, but it might be. I might add it in because I'm saying it now. But like parler. The word parlor.
Yeah.
Let's parlor about that.
Okay.
So like parlay, but parlor. And so, and then it would be built upon. So like, a parlor box might be a, phone. And so, you know, because it's a box that you talk into.
Right.
But it's also in your parlor, so the parlor box. And yeah, those two are going into the language now. Because I like it. Which I will do after the podcast.
And so, anyway... you're doing this just as like a brain exercise? Or are you putting this into some other form of art?
Okay, so I have a book that I've written that I kind of like, but I don't like enough in the format that it's in.
Yeah,
I'm going to translate that book into this language and then self-publish it so that it will exist as a thing. Even if nobody buys it and reads it, I want it to exist as a thing. So that's
the whole book is now, are you developing a syntax or are you just replacing slang? You're just replacing certain bits.
This is the thing is that, it's going to have an English syntax, right?
Yeah.
But there are enough words that are different that it's going to sound like English, but what the people are actually talking about won't really work as well. Like if you don't know it, you're not going to necessarily understand it, if that makes sense.
And so like,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
So, Jennifer's heard you talk about this enough that she doesn't want to hear you talk about it anymore. Is that why you told her to stop listening?
Yeah, exactly. I because here's the thing. The thing I'm really excited about is the fact that, like, each of these words, like, I've thought a lot about what it's going to be. I'm not just throwing them in at random, right? So, the thing is, I'm not even going to be able to tell you exactly what it is. Like, because I do all the research on it. I put it in there, and then I kind of forget why it is what it is. But as an example, yeah, the parlor box being a phone.
Yeah.
Parlor box sounds like something that could be a phone. But you take parlay, and you take... you know, the shape of a phone and all that box. Kind of stuff and all. Yeah, a box, you know, a phone box, Ben.
well, you got to come up with another word for box.
Yeah, oh, there is another word for box, I'm sure. A nickel. Ben, I'll tell you this one. A nickel is a stinker.
Okay.
And the reason is because what is five in French? Cinq.
Ah.
Right? So a stinker. Cinq, stonk, stonker,
stinker. Now, are you saying sinker or stinker?
Stinker. Because it would be a sinker, right?
Yeah.
But nobody likes having a nickel. You know, it's a low form of currency, so it's a stinker. That kind of thing. It's like... everything is like three steps away from its origin a lot of times.
Now, are you going to have a vocabulary in the back of the book?
No, but I'm going to have a separate book that's a vocabulary. It's going to be cheap, but yeah, if you had the if you had it in the back of the book, you'd be flipping too much. I want it so that the vocabulary is a separate book so that you can refer to it and not lose your place in the first part.
I think people are well-versed enough in the intricacies of how to hold a book or how to read a book that they can refer back to a glossary and not lose their place. I think it'd be harder.
Let me rephrase, Ben.
It'd be harder to open up another book.
I'm writing it this way because that is how I prefer to read a book in another language. I like it when I have two books. And so I'm making it purely for myself. Because then I charge for two books instead of one.
Well, there you go.
Another side of it. But speaking of another side of it, hey, Benny!
Oh, God.
All right, Ben, I've held off on telling this story because I don't know if Betty wants me to tell her or not.
Well, now's a good time, Betty, to ask her permission.
Go ahead and stick one of these in your ears. Okay, now, I haven't told Ben this story yet. I didn't know if you wanted me to or not. Can we talk about your assembly that I was with you at? And what happened there? Okay.
Was this a school assembly?
Well, sort of. So Betty is going on a trip to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
How fun.
What's that?
I said, how fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I said to her, Betty, now, there's a very important thing. When you go to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., I do not want you to assassinate the president.
Oh, God.
Not only that, I don't want you to joke about assassinating the president. And
you didn't say that.
Most importantly,
you didn't say, don't joke about assassinating the president. You just said, don't assassinate the president and don't tell anybody that I told you to not to assassinate the president.
Right. And don't, I said, basically, don't assassinate the president. Don't tell anyone my dad told me not to assassinate the president. Just leave that all
right
here in, and don't do it when you go out there. So they have this assembly and there's talk about decorum. You know, they say, for instance, you know, you're going to the Vietnam War Memorial. There might be people who lost, you know, a relative there. Don't be goofing around and all that kind of stuff.
Be respectful.
Be respectful, all this. And then they ask if there are any other questions before we break off into our groups. And my lovely daughter, Betty George Goody Pratt, raises her hand. And they call on her and say yes. And Betty says,
also, don't assassinate the president.
And how was that received?
At which point, the stunned silence, at which point, or no, I think the person said something like, yes, we wouldn't want to do that. But at which point, Jennifer turns and looks at me and says, this is your fault.
Well, I mean, I have to agree with her.
Yeah. She's like, you planted the seed. I can't, you know, all that kind of stuff. You did plant the seed. So, so there's that. Then we break off into our groups. And towards the end, they're asking for questions and things like that. And Jennifer stands up. And Betty, what does Jennifer say?
She just goes on a long discussion monologue about how you aren't supposed to take pictures of other kids without their parents' permission.
And then she ends it with, and just so that you're clear, you do not have my permission.
Yeah.
To which point, a lot of the middle school girls roll their eyes and all that. And we left there, and Jennifer's like, they still don't get it. And I think she's right that, and one of the things that she brought up was the fact that if you take a picture of a minor, even if you're a minor, without the permission of that minor's parents, you can get kicked off of or banned for life from social media stuff. And so that's a concern.
I don't know the rules. I mean, I'm assuming that if you're taking a picture of something, like, let's say you're taking a picture of Betty and there's a kid in the background whose face you can't see clearly. I mean, that's okay, right?
I would direct you to Jennifer Fact Checker for the answer to that question, because I think the answer is no.
Nah, she stopped listening when you started talking about this language you're creating.
Oh, shoot. Jennifer, you got to start listening again. explain to Ben and our listeners the legalities of taking pictures of minors and putting them on social media. But one of the big things...
I mean, as far as, like, telling a middle school
kid... Are we done here?
Oh, Betty's leaving.
Okay, bye, Betty.
Okay, see you, Betty.
I mean, as I guess I can understand that the middle school kids don't get it, because a lot of their culture is taking pictures.
Yeah.
And not having to ask for permission.
Yes.
That's just the thing kids do now.
Yeah, the big thing is, I mean... And she's the way she broke it down for me, and she's absolutely right. There's a Facebook page, right, for the trip. Other people have their own pages and all that kind of stuff. If you were a dedicated individual, from the pictures that these children would take, you would be able to find out where they're staying, probably their itinerary, all sorts of stuff, which is a little creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I get that part. I want to say that there's a difference between incidentally taking a picture of somebody because they happen to be in your shot versus taking a picture of someone with the intent of putting them online to make fun of them, to shame them, to cyberbully them.
Yeah, I wish the law felt that way, Ben, but I don't think it does.
Let's say one of Betty's schoolmates, you know, they gather around and take a picture. Betty's just, you know, walking through in the background. You know, you can see her, but she's not part of the group shot that's in the foreground. Would that be bad? Would that be something that, you know, these kids can't put this picture on Instagram because Betty's in the background?
Okay, so here's what I would say as far as all that goes. I believe, and she will be able to correct me if I am incorrect on this, I believe she would say, no, it's not okay. That right. even if the person is in the background.
I'm just going to say that enforcing that, policing that is not something you can really do, though.
Oh, you can if somebody complains about it. That's the thing. Is that
sure, after the fact?
Is that what she specifically was telling them? In my opinion, I could be wrong about this, but that she specifically is going to be, like how you say, I am more than willing to press charges if my demands are not met or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. When you write a tersely worded email to somebody about a cease and desist. For a copyright thing, same sort of thing. My opinion of this and my interpretation is that she will make a note if Betty shows up in other people's pictures.
Are either of you going to DC on this trip?
Nope.
Hmm. Is this going to be her first time traveling alone?
You know, and alone now that being I think about with a bunch it, of other people. I don't know how much I should be talking about it, given the spirit of the thing. Yeah, I can't say when it's going to be exactly. I don't think I did.
No.
No, she's not going by herself. You know, they're.
Well, that by herself meaning without either of you.
No. No, without it is a trip that she is going on without either Jennifer or I as a chaperone.
Yeah.
And
again, I think that's all right to say.
I don't think I ever did that when I was her age. I never went on an extended field trip without my parents.
When I was in eighth grade, I went to Chicago on a field trip.
Yeah.
And it was
fun. Well, I mean, I came up to Seattle on a school trip, but that was just like, you know, an hour and a half on the bus.
Yeah, you didn't stay at a hotel or anything like that.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I did. I stayed at a hotel and it was cool.
Crazy.
All right, Ben.
Well, that's about that time.
I think we're good.
That's it. We've gotten into enough trouble.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think the cat. That was the cat.
You heard the cat.
I thought Jennifer was the cat.
Oh, gosh.
But she's not. All right.
All right. And with that.
Ben, I entreat you, please keep it wrong.
Paul,
continue
for the love of God.
Continue to keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Please. Think
Here
of
we
the
are.
Children.
Keeping it wrong.
All
since
right, Ben.
2016?
All right. All right, yes. I sound like somebody who's crawling through the desert. Keep it wrong.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later, Ben.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.